This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.
Tell us something we don't know.
Tell us something we don't know.
The challenge is out there to tell us something we don't know. We're looking for those random bits of trivia that we don't know. We'll take your word for it most of the time, so just make it sound believable. We don't want to have to do a Google search. That seems to be too much
hard work.
All right, mystery prize up for grabs once again today. And actually, we've got a couple of kids on the line this time around that are trying to try and give us some trivia we haven't heard before, Gab.
If it's something they've learned at school, then we're probably not going to have any idea.
They're guaranteed winners. First up, we've got Ethan. Ethan, tell us something we don't know.
The cassowary is one of the closest things to a dinosaur.
Right. Cassowary is one of the closest relations to a dinosaur.
I always knew, like, the alligator and crocodile were, but had no idea about the cassowary. What?
No, okay, I'll let you go with that one.
Is that right?
I think the alligator and the crocodile were more as they were back. They were back that far.
But they've
gone back that far, but not dinosaur. Dinosaurs may have come from birds, or birds come from dinosaurs, I should say.
As in like the pterodactyl and a cassowary could be
Dinosaurs. Anyway, this could take too long. So,
Hamish.
Yes.
It's because of their crest on their head. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that works, Gab.
I believe you.
Okay.
I obviously know nothing about dinosaurs, so you've definitely taught me something this morning.
I'm pretty sure I don't either, but maybe a touch more than you, Gab. All right, Ethan, congratulations. You've won a mystery prize. Well done there. We will now move across to Dean. Dean, we want you to tell us something we don't know. What have you got for us?
What's a one-humped camel?
A dromedary.
A demodary.
Oh, unfortunately, Hamish knew that. I don't know how he knew that.
Yeah.
There's a random piece of trivia that...
I have not... I didn't even take any time to think about that. It just was in there.
What does that mean?
It means it's a one-humped camel. Oh. I don't know.
We're now chatting to one of my all-time favourite celebrities since Australian Idol back in the day, Shane Jeanneck, but also Courtney Act, who you'd know, who got through to the semi-finals of Australian Idol back in, what was the year?
2003.
That's one of your
all-time favourites.
Yeah, oh, you are. I love you so much. I've been watching you on Single AF on MTV. I saw you on RuPaul's Drag Race. You also won Celebrity Big Brother in the UK. So you are doing phenomenal things overseas. Tell us about your experiences since Australian Idol.
Gosh, what's been going on? I mean, I moved to America in 2010. I went on RuPaul's Drag Race in 2014. And then just this year in January, I was on Celebrity Big Brother in the UK, and I won the whole goddamn thing. So, you know, three competition reality shows later, I finally won one.
How do you think you got to be the winner of Celebrity Big Brother?
Ironically, it was Year of the Woman, and I won. And, you know, whilst I sometimes look like a pretty woman, I'm not. and it was kind of interesting because it came down to myself and Anne Widdecombe, who is a conservative politician who in 23 years of parliament voted against every piece of pro-LGBT legislation. She's anti-abortion, she denies climate change, she's pro-capital punishment, all of these things. And it really came down to this sort of battle of, dare I say, good versus evil. But, you know, when it all came down to it, I was so grateful that I won. And I think that although I'm not a woman, I do represent the ideal of a woman in 2018.
Well, I'm so glad that good did win over evil. But speaking about that, like 15 years ago, you were one of the first LGBTQTI people that were on a reality TV show. 15 years later, a lot has changed. Tell us about, you know, back then how you felt compared to now on reality TV.
Well, I mean, it's just so nice to... For so many years, I was kind of one of few. And then going on Drag Race, like there's literally over 100 Drag Race girls, and that's just drag queens. I mean, we're kind of like rabbits of the LGBTQ community, I guess.
In the entertainment industry, and especially in RuPaul's Drag Race, there's still that bitchy element there that you have in all reality TV shows, or is it more an element of supporting each other?
Both, you know, but it's very much a supportive, like, camaraderie sort of environment because, you know, we've all been through, we've all been struggling in these wonderful but often shitty gay bars around the world doing our shows and plodding away with small budgets and trying to entertain people and have a good time. And then we're here on this sort of world stage having this amazing opportunity. And so there's a real respect because we're all artists in some way or another. And I think there's a real mutual respect for that, which is cool.
That is cool. And speaking of shows, you are bringing one to Brisbane very soon. It's called Courtney Act Under the Covers. Tell us what we can expect from that.
Well, it's going under the covers of not just the bed, you cheeky people, but also under the covers of our favourite covered songs and under the covers of life, really. Like looking at why we cover music and also why we cover ourselves in so much stuff. I'm deconstructing all of that.
Oh, amazing. Well, it's happening March the 29th. If anyone wants any details, they can go to courtneyact.com. Everything is there. It's happening at the Brisbane Powerhouse. And we can't wait to have you home.
Thanks, guys.
We want your opinion this morning because a lady has put up a bit of a post on Mumsnet, which is like a forum for mums to have a chat.
Yep.
And she thinks her partner's maybe a bit out of line because she was made redundant in the early stages of her pregnancy, got a bit of a payout. But then now that she can't work and she's cooking a child,
mm-hmm.
her partner has said that maybe she should still be pitching in 50% of bills and the mortgage.
Yeah.
Even though he's working, he's on a pretty good salary.
Income, yeah.
And he's still like, nah, he's still got to pitch in.
All right, so we want to know what you think on 13, 12, 16. Madison's on the line. What do you reckon?
I don't know about 50-50, but I definitely think that she could still tuck in some of her money for everything. I mean, like, when you're in a relationship and everything is so split, to just have everything fall on the side of one person. And I only say this because my mother worked full-time with me when I was in her belly and then went straight back to full-time after I was, like, 3 weeks old. And that was literally just to pay for everything because my dad only worked part-time and, like, all of this stuff. So it is very doable.
Yeah,
it is definitely doable. But at the moment, she can't work. And I guess she does have the redundancy package to pitch in a little bit. But 50-50, is it? Should it be?
No, well,
I think 50-50 is a little bit much.
Yeah.
If it's not working, that money runs out very quick.
Yeah, that's it.
And you can, you know, there should be something that she's pitched in for. So, but maybe not 50-50.
I would just hate to have anyone use against me later that they paid for everything and it's all up to them. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, you know what?
I also cooked your child.
I would be happy if somebody paid for everything. It's just me, though. It's the kind of people that we are. Madison, you're obviously a better person than I am. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for that. We'll move across to Sophie now. Sophie, what do you think about this 50-50 situation?
I think it's a bit rough on his behalf. Mm. I know personally when you're home with children and you're not working anymore, you don't feel like you're contributing financially. And then when, you know, you want to go and treat yourself or something, like you feel guilty for doing that because you think, oh, probably that money should go to clothes for the children or, you know, something, you know, to do with the family. So I think it's a bit rough that he's gone, no, you can continue, you know, contributing 50-50 to this when she's, you know, not making any money herself.
Yeah, so I think that the general consensus is 50-50 is a bit
very
harsh,
steep.
But some sort of arrangement should be sort out.
If she's able to contribute, then great.
Yeah.
But as you said, like, the guilt is already there, the fact that you're not able to bring in the bread from a job if you're raising children and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just kind of exasperating that, isn't he?
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, you think, oh, stay-at-home mums, they're sitting around and staying at home. They're not. But it's not like that. I mean, being a mum is a hard job. You know, tending to the kids, tending to the household, you know, making sure that that's all running still. It's pretty hard, so. Mm. Yeah, I think 50-50 is being a little bit too much of an ask.
Could be in some trouble, Gab, and I'll tell you why. I found this morning. Clever people live longer.
Yes.
Due to a so-called intelligence genes that promote old age. This is according to new research. There's more than 500 genes linked to people having greater IQs. have been identified by scientists, which is 10 times higher than previously thought. And having those genes means that you could live longer, live to a ripe old age, which is just magnificent for smart folks.
I did see this story this morning, and I didn't want to bring it up in front of you, Hamish. That's why I didn't bring it to the table. I was like, no, I'll let that one go.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. No, I understand. You know, there's a couple of reasons why dumb people like myself don't live too long. First is obviously the intelligence genes, but the second is we do stupid things.
You make dumb decisions.
We make very stupid decisions that means we either end up in hospital or worse. It's happened before. It'll happen again.
All you have to do is YouTube epic fail and you'll see silly people doing silly things.
Darwin Awards, for instance.
Yes.
Take a Google on those. You'll see a lot of dumb people getting a mention.
Majority of men. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yep.
Maybe it's a fear factor type thing. Men have less of a worry about the fear coming into it. I don't know.
A lot of us are stupid, I think.
Maybe.
I'm putting my hand up. I'm one of them.
This is not something the firefighters would normally be called out for, but it's something that made me cringe to no end when I heard about it. And it's it happened in China. And a young boy somehow managed to get his eyelid caught in his jacket zipper.
No.
So he was doing up the jacket. Yep. It was a metal zipper, FYI. Yep. And when he was lowering his head at the same time as doing the zip. His eyelid got caught in the teeth.
Wow.
And obviously they didn't want to re-unzip it because that's a lot of pain. They couldn't rip it apart and they didn't want to just rip it off his eyelid because it's a very sensitive part of the body. So they had to call the firefighters to come and free him from his zip.
Wow.
And it doesn't happen.
No.
How does that happen?
I've never heard of an eyelid being stuck in
a
zipper.
I've heard of
before.
Other things being caught in zippers.
I've had it. I've done it.
Serious?
I've done it. Yeah, got a little slice of life stuck in the zipper and it was not pleasant.
Were you not wearing underwear?
Oh, I was in such a... Okay, I don't want to have to go into detail, but essentially I went to go to the toilet. I was in such a hurry to just, you know, pack it all away and zip it up that it was I did it all in one motion.
And it didn't work very well for you.
No, it didn't work for me.
Ouch.
Yeah, and so, yep. Very painful, very painful.
Oh, I've got no words for that, so let's move on.
Yeah,
so we want to know, 13, 12, 16, when have clothes attacked you?
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be a zipper. Like this one time I was getting out of a dress after a big night out and the hook and eye got stuck in my hair and I could not untangle it to save me. So I ended up sleeping with a dress attached to my head until my housemate got home the next morning
hilarious.
She was able to untangle it for
Love
me.
It
was just, it was at a point on my head where I couldn't see it in a mirror and I didn't want to have to rip out a chunk of hair.
Yeah.
So I just slept with it.
That's hilarious. All right, when have clothes attacked?
Yeah.
We'd love to. Have you had a thong blowout at a moment where you've been running down the street and all of a sudden, thong blowout, over you go?
Yeah.
Anything like that, we'd love to hear from you.
We do have Jacinta on 13, 12, 16. When has clothing attacked?
Well, I got my little toe stuck in my croc hole, but then I busted my croc.
Okay, can we just, you can't throw out, I got my toe stuck in a croc hole, because there are so many different connotations to that. We need an explanation.
Obviously you've got crocs.
My shoes.
The shoes.
Crocs.
Yes. Okay, good.
And they've got little holes in them.
Yeah. It's not always up north and there was a crocodile there. I went to kick it and I got a toe stuck in a croc hole.
That's not a clothing disaster. That's
not
something
a clothing
totally
disaster.
Different.
Yeah, that's when wildlife attacks. All right.
No.
So,
how's your little toe?
Look, it was a little bit bruised because it was quite tough rubber, but it must have been ripped from something else because I go adventuring in them all the time. So a little bit bruised.
Did you learn your lesson and stop wearing Crocs?
God, no.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Yes. I didn't realise
people knock 'em till you croc 'em.
Now we have Celine on the line. Celine, when has clothing attacked you?
So it wasn't really attacked, but it made my life very difficult. So I was at races about 2 months ago and it was boiling hot in the middle of Queensland. It was about 40 degrees all day. Hadn't drunk anything, but I was wearing like a strapless jumpsuit. And like I wasn't wearing a bra or anything. And I felt real sick when watching some races. So I was like, I'm going to sit down. And I was like, oh, I'm going to puke. So I went to the bathroom and like, obviously under it, tried to puke in the toilet. So I stood back up, but my zipper broke on the back.
Oh.
Yeah, so then I jumped down the toilet, got one of the girls to help me. And then they were really, really drunk. And then I was like, oh, it's all right. I'll just go to my car and get changed. And I was holding the top up with my hands and I tried to fix it up. But then I passed out. from the heat, and I let go of the front, so everyone at the races saw everything that was under my suit.
Oh, that was you!
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that sucks.
That is not good. That is not good.
That's very embarrassing. It's like passed out, and like, the worst thing is that I wasn't even drinking either.
No, well, that's the thing. You got to watch yourself in the heat. Drink plenty of fluids, and then these things won't happen.
This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.